This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
War Room, and welcome to another session here at Seismic Radio, BPN Radio. And today, it's always interesting here, I think, and we're going to look at another way how to preach the gospel. Yeah? And again, when we look at the Christian War Room, the biggest charge we have is for people around us to understand what the gospel is all about, how we need to preach the gospel, what we need to do to reach out with the gospel. I think it's very, very important. It's very, very important. I'm just going to go to a scripture and I'm going to read it. And then I'm going to go right to the point, kind of right to the point, about how to preach the gospel. Just one more idea of evangelism and something to reach out to your local community with, kind of being into people's face, but without being there. Anyway, I'm going to show you how it's done in a moment. First of all, let's have a look at Mark 16. So that's the scripture. I'm going to read it to you from the New King James Version. And it's obviously the Great Commission, Mark 16, 16. Just remember this, Mark 16, 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. And it starts really at verse 14. Let's read through this little paragraph. And Jesus said, or not Jesus said, but it says in there, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. So that was after the resurrection. And he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Great Commission. Let me just zoom in to the verse 15 onwards. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes is baptized and will be saved. Okay, and he who does not believe will be condemned. Yeah. So, very simple message. You go out there, you give them the gospel, and it's up to them. They either accept it or they don't accept it, and the consequence is on their head. Okay, let me just give you... This is an idea, by the way, I have to be fair. It's not my own idea. I was watching a YouTube video on some guy, and he was a ham radio operator. For those of you in Britain, it's an amateur radio operator. So, you know, two-way radio communications. You get your little license. You have got your equipment. You have got an antenna. And he was just setting up a mobile transmitter, two-way transmitter or transceiver. And he was talking about, you know, as he going through this video and telling people how he was doing this and how he made this wonderful contact over 3,000 miles or something. And he was just telling them that... that he's got a prayer trail, you know, and I think it's on his property or something, somewhere in North Carolina, I think it was, and he said he's got this prayer trail, and what he does is he just, puts up little signposts and it nails him to a tree, yeah, and people can walk along this trail and they can pick up Bible verses or, you know, short statements or whatever. And I thought, this guy is really onto something. And why aren't we doing this? Yeah, and it's probably a little bit iffy, to use a term, or a little bit dubious, because you cannot just go to a public land and nail something to a tree. But there are many ways of doing this. There are many legal ways as well of doing this. And I just want to talk you through a little bit, and maybe there is an idea for you where you can do something legitimately, you know, by involving the local forestry commission and, you know, just ask them whether you can do this. And you can do this maybe with your youth group at church. And you put up all these signposts, you put them up on trees, maybe with little tasks or something. You leave them up for some time and then you take them down and you agree this with the forestry commission. Or maybe if you own some land and you've got a little forest somewhere, why don't you just create a prayer trail, you know, where you lead people through the Bible to understand the message of the gospel. And we're gonna look at this in a minute. First of all, let me just talk a little bit about these ideas. I mean, one time I came across this was here in England, in Flamborough. And Flamborough Head, that's what the place is called, is on the East Coast. And there are a lot of little walkways and trails. Over here, they're called public footpaths along the coast, along the cliffs. And anyway, a lot of pensioners or people who are retiring, one of the things they do is they sell their little house in the city and they buy a little caravan or a trailer or something near the coast. And that's where they live. And one of the guys, he was living in one of these, you know, very small houses. And he saw the mission of his life to make people happy. So what he did is along the trail, every day he put out a lot of little A4 sheets of paper, laminated, so they were weatherproof and they wouldn't be destroyed. And there were just a bunch of jokes on there. And anyway, you walked along this trail and naturally you were interested, so you started reading. Letters were big enough so that you didn't have to go quite close to it. And you could read them. And a lot of them were just dirty jokes. Yeah. He thought it was funny. Nobody ever did anything about this. And a lot of people, they walked by and they just wanted to see what it was all about. Again, I mean, I'm not telling you to go out there and to put dirty jokes out somewhere, but the concept is there, you know. People walk along there, they're at leisure, they're not somewhere inside a town. You know, you get sometimes these town preachers where they go into the middle of a high street or something and they preach the gospel. Doesn't always work because people are at a rush, yeah. And I've been in the same position as well. When I hear a Christian street preacher somewhere, I tend to just stop if I've got time to listen, because I know other people will stop and listen as well, because me, complete stranger, stops and listens, and it's this herd instinct. And so I try to help them a little bit. Yeah. And also, it's nothing worse than preaching and everybody's ignoring you. But people are in a rush. That's a problem, you know, when you go into a high street. People don't have time, and very often I didn't have time either, and I was just on my lunch break, and I had to get back to work. And so I couldn't always stop. But when you are out on a trail, you've got time. You can stop and read, and you can take it in, and you can think about it, and there's not much else to do. Yeah. So maybe it's much more effective to approach people when they are at leisure. And the idea is not bad, you know. They're just little signposts. You leave them somewhere. He put them just on the ground. I was there over many years, and whenever I went there, I could see the jokes, and sometimes they were a bit more and sometimes less. I have to say, I haven't been there for a long, long time, so I don't know whether the guy is still alive. He's still doing it. But one thing I noticed over the years when I was going there is that the laminates, it got more and more withered with the sunlight. And it was pretty much the same stuff that was out there all the time. Most of it, I don't know whether all of it, I didn't spend that much time. There were probably about 100 jokes of some form or another. So you read a few of them and then you move on. Okay, so that is one thing, yeah. I never knew who this guy was who laid him out there. I've never seen him. I assume he was an old guy, you know, because this area, or an old, and judging by the jokes, is probably an old man. But the area was predominantly occupied by retirees, by retired people, pensioners. And anyway, that's what they were doing. Now, why can't we do the same thing? Yeah. Why can't we do the same thing? I'll give you one more story, and then I'm going to give you some ideas of what we can do in our Christian warfare, in our Great Commission to preach the gospel to all creatures until he comes back, takes us home. And I was once on a road between Barnsley and Manchester, and it goes over the Pennine. So it's a hilly terrain and lots of bends and curves, and you have to drive very carefully. But there was one section where there was a little bit of a shrine, and you see this here in England quite often, that people put up little crosses when somebody died, or they put flowers and crosses, and every now and then the council comes, or the council workers, in American it would be the municipality workers, they come and clear them away, and then they appear again, and they leave them there for some time, you know, to give people a chance to grieve, and then they clear them away again. In a way, I think it's good because it makes people realize somebody died here. I better drive a bit more carefully, especially when it's a curvy road. Yeah? And overtaking is not necessarily always the best idea, just to be at your destination a minute earlier, if that. So what I saw is there was a little bit of a shrine, and it was maintained over years, really. And the shrine became bigger, there were more candles, more flowers, and then suddenly there was a laminate which was stuck to between two trees. And you could see the photo of the guy who died there, and you could see a website as well. And one day when I went there, when I went past this point, I was determined to make a mental note and to check him out on the website. And bear in mind, this is after years going past this point, not every day, but quite frequently, you know, several, maybe once a month or something, but certainly several times a year. And I went and I read the story of this guy, and it was just like the story of a guy. I think he was adopted, this boy, and a very sad story. You know, he had tons and tons of accidents. He was really accident prone, but he was really into sports. Maybe a bad choice. If you are prone to accidents, you should probably stay away from sporty activities. And anyway, apparently he was on a race of some sort, and he was cycling this road, and I understand he got hit by a lorry, and he died. Really, really sad story, but again, I got the story, and it was just somebody being insistent and really being committed to this boy, the father, I assume, or the father and mother, and they, you know, not being too intimidated, so whenever the council came and removed the stuff, you know, they put something back up again, and then eventually they even put it on a website, and I think the last time I went past this point, it has disappeared, there was nothing there, but certainly it made an impact, and it made people like me being curious, trying to find out what it is all about. Now, I'm giving you these stories because we can do the same for the kingdom of God as well. You know, we've got a message to preach out there. And again, let me just condense a message in a nutshell. And that is, you know, there is a God out there, and he loves us very, very much. But he's really righteous, and we are very sinful. We've got a sin problem, and sin is just with us, and it's a really big problem for us. And it enslaves us, it blinds us, it leads us into delusion, it deceives us, yeah? But it's there, and it's obvious as well when we see this. We hurt people even though we don't want to. We make terrible mistakes, you know, even though we don't want to, and sometimes the nearest and dearest to us, we are the most horrible people to. And that is just evidence of sin in our lives, and we need to get rid of the sin, and the worst thing is we cannot stand before a righteous God with our sin. But God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And let me take it one step further. God became flesh. He came amongst us. He lived a perfect life. And the demand for his righteousness is that sin has got to be atoned for. Sin has got to be atoned for. And this, you know, righteous man, Jesus Christ, let himself be nailed to the cross, living a perfect life, you know, God incarnate, God become flesh, living a perfect life, and letting himself, allowing himself to be nailed to the cross and dying a horrible death in his flesh, and paying the ultimate price, the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. So if we believe in what he has done, we can be set free from our sin, and we can be forgiven before the ultimate righteous God. We can be made righteous before him, not through our own righteousness, but through the righteousness and through the sacrifice of himself, you know, being paid for our sins. That is really the message. Yeah. Then the aftermath, you can have a new life. You can live in holiness. You can live a better life, freed of sin. Doesn't mean that you'll never sin again. You'll truly sin again on a daily basis, I can guarantee you that, but you've got somebody who is our intercessor before God, and he would say that our record is clean, our sins have been paid for, and so we can live in eternity in glory together with God, and we can be reunited to God the way the way it was before the fall. Okay, that is a gospel message, just in short. And there are plenty of Bible verses which we can use to try and get this. Maybe testimonies as well, and little stories. Okay, what can we do? The first thing you need to buy is a laminating machine, which is probably about £20, $30. You need to get a bunch of laminates. You need a computer, maybe, or you can do it handwritten as well. You need a printer. And then you can print out laminates, or, you know, print out on paper, put it through a laminator to weatherproof it, and then you can nail this stuff to a tree, for example. You can nail it to a tree, and you can have, like, the whole walkway, you know, call it the gospel walk or whatever, prayer walk. Maybe you can connect it with some events which are important for Christians, maybe Easter, you know, to have an Easter hunt using these verses, and you can leave them up for some time, and you can just go to the forestry commission and ask them whether, you know, whatever forest they control and whatever trails they control, whether they would allow you to put up a prayer walk or a gospel walk so that, you know, you want to do something with your church, your youngsters, so that they can go along and use this as an educational route, you know, to learn about the Bible. And you could maybe just get the story of mankind, the story of the Bible, in images, in text, in Bible verses, along a route. And people can stop and read through it. Maybe you can give people a questionnaire where they have to pick up points, and you can make it a little bit of a contest, you know, a fox hunt or whatever you might call it, but a contest to come up and get all the answers, yeah, and then you know, see who wins, who gets the most points, and hand out some sweets or some prizes or whatever. I mean, that's what you can do locally for your church, but you can leave it up for a few weeks if you deal with the forestry commission or whoever is in charge of it, and it'll be okay. You know, mostly they'll be favorable towards that anyway, because that's the point. It's there to, you know, for education, for enjoyment. And maybe other people will be affected by this as well, and you can, you know, make a part and parcel of it. So I'm not suggesting to, you know, illegally hang up these things, but try to make it legally, whoever has control, whoever's in charge of it. Okay, so that is one thing you can do. I mean, some other stuff you can do is you can have on a beach, for example. Obviously, it won't last very long, but you can do a gospel walk and write messages in the sand. Just go along a beach for 5 miles, write messages in the sand, and then, as you know, beach walkers walk along, they'll pick up on these messages, and it might be there for a day, a couple of days, until the next high tide comes and washes it away, or the weather takes it away. You can do this with stones as well. Stones have always been used as memorials. You can spell out words with stones and arrange them and put them on walkways, and it'll last a long time. You can have, you know, very powerful messages. So I remember one message in Ireland, somebody written in the sand, "Where will you spend eternity?" Very simple message, but it says everything. Now, Northern Ireland, everybody, it's a very religious place in the United Kingdom, or in Great Britain, I should say, and everybody is religious. Everybody knows about religion. But some people latch on to it and some don't. Some people are, you know, embracing Jesus Christ, and others run away from him. And it's for those who run away from him, or you just try to ignore it, to remind them, you know, this is really, really important. Get your act straight. Okay, so what else can you do? You can use your trail. You take some tacks, paper tacks, or some nails or something. You can knock it into trees. You can put on Bible verses. You can maybe cover a certain subject and make it relevant. You can make it gospel focused as well. Make something with the youth in your church, you know, get them walk through the trail, put some questions to it, let them gain some points. Think about what you can put up there, and you can maybe have different themes as well. You can prepare all this stuff and just leave it there. The important thing is, if you try to use it also for the general public, you need to get people to understand the path to salvation, And like I just mentioned to you, just go through it step by step by step. Let them know that they are a sinner, that there is a need for repentance, that there is a way out, and that this way out has been provided by God himself, that Jesus Christ has died for them on the cross, and through faith in him, they can reach out to eternal life. And again, what it is just all about sowing seeds, just letting people know, being right into their face without being into their face, without actually seeing them. But stick the message into their face. Make it interesting as well. You might stick some pictures in there. You might, put some challenging questions somewhere in the middle of this trail. And let people think about it. Yeah. And maybe hook it up with the web, with an internet presence of some sort or another, where people can go to and then explain the gospel in a little bit more detail, in a little bit more depth, and maybe stick one or two audio messages or a video clip. Or I think what is very, very powerful is always testimonies of people, especially people who have been through hell and came to Christ. Yeah. And that very often is strong, is really, really strong. And people, it resonates with people. And so that might be sort of an idea, just a simple website where you explain the gospel, have a bunch of audio files, have a bunch of messages on there. And also, put some stuff up there, like a New Testament they can download, a little booklet or PDF file for the Kindle, if they still use one, something for them to read, where they can just, read from it and so on. So that's something you can do. And people, might go for it. They might go for it. Right. Does it work? I don't know, but it's something for you to pray about. It's something, especially if you've got a youth group, could be an interesting project for you to do. Do forestry commissions go for that? It depends. I mean, they've got they are charged to, provide something for the public. If you've got a project and you build relationships with the forestry commission or a forestry department or whoever it is, whoever's in charge of it, and again, you can say, look, this is what it is for. It's a church, an internal church activity. You don't have to mention that it is for an outreach, but you would like to keep it up for 1 week. You are responsible and you are going to take everything down as well. So you put it up and then let's say a week or fortnight or whatever later, you put it down again. So you've got a couple of weeks for people to do this and to encourage them to use the nature trail. Again, it's obviously it's up to you and you need to find out how the people tick and so on. I'll give you one example of what my experience is. And again, I wasn't involved. It's to do with amateur radio. They're so-called field days. And field days, you set up a lot of transmitters. You get a bunch of people get together. You normally in summertime, you put up a couple of tents. And then you've got a radio tent as well. And it's supposed to be educational as well. So you set up some transceivers, two-way radio equipment. And you make as many contacts as possible. Yeah, from somewhere off a field, so you need to have an independent power supply, so you've got a generator or solar or something like that, and you operate from a mobile position. The whole idea is it's a bit like emergency communications, getting ready for it and getting your skills going and being mobile and portable. My experience was, our club, the amateur radio club, which I used to attend, they were really poor at operating, and they always got, in the country, nationwide, one of the lowest rungs. But everybody really had a good time. So people just got together, they talked, they spent some time together, they drank a lot of tea, ate a lot of sausages, and just had a good time. And that was more important than operating, I think. And a little bit of operating was going on as well. Sometimes not really the way we ought to. But I say, now here's the big thing. So the park has been, catered by the Forestry Commission here in the locality. And camping was normally a big no-no, no chance. Yeah? But because of this event, they made an exception. And for 2 days, we had access to the site. What we had to do is when we stayed there for 3 days, so from Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we had to make sure that on Sunday everything was clean. There were no tent pegs left anywhere. There was no rubbish, no nothing. So everybody made sure everything was cleaned up, and you had a good weekend, and everything was fine. And maybe this is something you could do with your youth in your church as well, where you have a camping setup. You set up this trail. You let people walk this trail. You do this over a weekend, and then you leave the trail, you know, the signpost, the prayer walk, the gospel walk, the Old Testament walk, the New Testament walk, the end time walk, maybe, you know, end time scriptures. Whatever you want to do, you leave it up, and then a couple of weeks later you take it down again and get on good terms with the Forestry Commission, make sure nobody complains, nobody's upset about it, and it's just an interesting project, and then maybe a year later you can do it again. Or you can have a different project, a different way of doing it. It's just an idea, and it might work, it might not work. Please pray about it. Don't just take my ideas as the be-all and end-all. Just pray about it and see whether it works in your setup. I think at the moment we've still got the freedom to do this sort of thing. If we package it in the right way, if we say, you know, we are a local church community, this is what we would like to do, can we do it? Yeah, and do this in a public sphere, and who knows? You may get people interested. Again, you can connect it to a website. You can quickly explain on one of the signposts why you are doing it, like you are a church and you want to educate the youngsters, get them out in the fresh air, and make them, you know, do some physical activity as well, together with learning a little bit about the Bible. Yeah, this is maybe the thing you could sell it off. And then this is positive all the way through. There's nothing to be said against it. And unless you get somebody who's very anti-Christian, they'd probably agree for you to do it. Yeah. And at the same time, who knows? You might get somebody who would surrender their lives to Christ. It's all about sowing seeds. We sow the seeds. We let people know that Jesus died for them, that there is a way out, that the gospel is real, that that there is a God out there who really cares for individuals, who really wants to know them. And they can experience, they can have a relationship with this God for real. And that is really the message we try to get out there. Okay, I need to cut down. We're coming to the end of our session. You're listening to the Christian War Room. We were talking about the gospel trail or the prayer trail, inspired by a ham radio, Christian ham radio operator who's done it on, you know, some property Forestry owned. And he put this trail up there, a prayer walk or prayer trail, he called it. And we should follow his example and make the most of it. And why not? Let it be an inspiration to you. Is one thing I didn't talk about. Maybe use QR codes as well. QR codes, you can use your smartphones. They can decode QR codes. You can make them very small. You just put your smartphone on them. You've got a QR code reader, which you can download for free. And people get a message, a Bible verse or something. And they're very discreet, you know, not distinct, not big. Why not? You know, you could use one of those as well. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we just want to ask you to inspire us to reach out with your gospel. Give us ideas. Give us good ways to do this. And help us not to grow lax in preaching your gospel to the ends of the world until you come back to preach it to all creatures, as your word says it. We pray, Lord, that you will lead the right people in our paths as we try to reach out with your word. Also equip us with everything we need. Give us the boldness, the cunningness. Let us be as cunning as snakes, but without faults like those. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.